Hey, how you doing? I've missed you.
It's been a while.
So, welcome back to Freshly Squeezed Nerd. It's been so long, I don't even remember our name. Freshly Squeezed Nerd Podcast. My name's Will. I'm here with my good friends Ken and Josh.
Hey.
Hello.
And about a month hiatus, but we're ready to jump back into it. So,
it feels like when you gave a girl a phone number, she hasn't called you back, and you waited a month to find out if she wants to go on a date again.
See, you never like call her right away. You always give her that space, but I think a month might have been too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, we came back. The internet was here waiting for us. So it's beautiful. You love something, set it free. This is getting stupid. Let's just jump right into it. So it's been about a month since we've done recording. I'm sure we've done a lot of nerdy stuff since then. So I'll start with Josh. What have you been up to this past month in Nerdland?
Okay. So game-wise, I don't know if I talked about this last time or not, but I did start playing the new Fire Emblem. I don't know if I mentioned it before.
I think you might have mentioned it in passing.
I just started playing it. So I've continued to play it. Did you know you can have kids in Fire Emblem?
I never got that far. I didn't get that far.
That's kind of a crazy notion to me for a Fire Emblem game that you can have kids. But
do they actually... Well, have you... This is something you've heard, though, right?
Yeah, so I haven't experienced it yet. So apparently during the battle, you have to team up different people together. And if you do that enough, then they'll say, hey, let's have children, because that's the cool thing to do.
Well, I figure, you know, if you're in, like, you know, your battle, you know, and you've been fighting along someone for a while, you get, like, that adrenaline going. And there's, like, some, like, feral-like things going on there. So I can understand.
The heat of the moment.
The heat.
Yeah.
It's the heat of the moment.
But I can't comprehend it. It doesn't make any sense.
You know, well, what's the point of having the kids though?
Don't they get your like some of your skills?
So it's like it's a new character.
Their skills.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's like a brand new character that you can actually fight.
See, that's kind of creepy. It's like we just had a kid and now they're like almost the same age as me.
Yeah, and they're like fighting. So it's a little weird.
What was different back then? Like whenever you had a kid back then, they were already like 15 years old.
Back where?
And then in the Fire Emblem times.
The olden times.
It's an alternate dimension. Like when you have a kid, it's not a baby, it's like 15 years old.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, so so I took
vitamin water.
I took each of yours advice and I picked up BioShock Infinite. It was like really cheap. So I decided to pick it up and I started playing it. And I am at the part where I got the girl. And we escaped out of her tower, and we were on our way to France, and then we got ambushed by, like, the rebels, and then they pushed me out.
That's a pretty long drop that you fall out of.
Yeah.
Like that would, like, you just get up and ready to go.
But you're still alive.
I would.
And you're good to go.
I would be dead.
So that's where I'm at. It's a pretty interesting storyline, and I know from what I've been told, there's a lot more to come as far as things are really messed up in the game. Some mind-blowing stuff that I'm going to get to.
Don't try to think about it too much. Like, just kind of...
Just let it happen.
Just let it happen and just experience what it is, because it's done really well.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it was done in a sense to where once it happened, you had to think back, be like, yeah, that makes sense now. Like, when it happens, it's like...
It's really organic.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, instant. It's like, what?
Yeah, it's mind-blowing, too.
No, it's terrible. Don't even know.
You just should just trading the game right now.
Y'all told me to go buy it.
You've done enough.
It's all downhill. Yeah. It's all downhill.
It's all downhill. Okay.
So, from a TV perspective, I binge-watched True Detective.
Fantastic show.
A great
really
show.
Really good show.
I've been meaning to watch that. It's HBO, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's HBO. It's already out on DVD and Blu-ray, so I borrowed it and watched it all in one weekend, and it's a pretty fantastic show. Mm-hmm. You know, Matthew McConaughey, Woody Harrelson, that type of like dialogue back and forth, like in the car. I mean, that's some pretty great stuff.
It like really departures from what, I know, me personally, I haven't seen a ton of movies with them in it, but from what they've been in that I've seen, it's a really departure from what I'm used to seeing. Like, you know, Woody Harrelson is in Kingpin, you know, and Larry Flint and all these other movies, and like he's this
Zombieland.
Zombieland, yeah. And then Matthew McConaughey is like kind of, he's always like struck me as kind of like a laid back, like kind of
cool guy,
goofy kind of, yeah.
Was he was in Magic Mike.
That's right, he was. Yeah,
he was in Magic Mike. But Tropic Thunder. He started, yeah, Tropic Thunder. But he started taking a more serious turn with the Dallas Buyers Club, mm-hmm. and now True Detective. So
he did pretty good in The Wolf of Wall Street. He didn't. He wasn't in it for very long, but for what he was in, he did a really good role.
Well, he was in Time to Kill, and he's fantastic in that movie too.
Because mm-hmm. like the ones, I guess I've known him for, except until recently, were more of the like romantic comedy stuff, and you know, some the more comedy and some of the action, some action stuff here and there. But it was a great job. Another thing that I started watching that I told you that I wouldn't watch, but I have watched.
What?
Game of Thrones.
So, you couldn't hold out anymore.
I couldn't. No. So I was sick last weekend, and I needed something to watch while I was laying like on the couch. So I went and bought Game of Thrones.
Nice.
And now I'm like halfway through season 3.
Wow, man.
So I watched like season 1 and 2 like over the course of last weekend, and now I'm on halfway through season 3.
It's good, right?
Yeah.
This is why he said he couldn't get an Xbox One yet, because he's buying Game of Thrones.
And he was sick.
Sick. Yeah. Uh-huh. Because those are still like, what, 50, 60 bucks a pop on a season? They're pretty pricey.
They're like 40, please.
They're worth it, though. They're so good.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So I can't wait till season 4 comes out on Blu-ray. I gotta watch that now.
Well, I'm gonna let you use my HBO account.
Yeah?
HBO Go. You can watch it.
Yeah? I only need like a weekend.
Yeah, and you'll be done.
I'll be done. Yeah. So other than that, that's really been about it. I've been had a new job, and that's been kind of crazy. But so yeah, that's kind of been my thing.
Okay. Ken, what have you been up to?
Well, been watching a lot of TV shows. I'll get into that in a moment. I beat Watch Dogs, and I was trying to wait until I pick up Diablo for Xbox One, so I wanted to maybe pick something I haven't played before. Recommendation from you again, Final Fantasy XIII. Mm-hmm. I was kind of hesitant and reluctant. Love the old ones, but you know, I've heard terrible things about the new ones. Uh-huh. But picked it up, and surprisingly, I think it's a great game.
Definitely a lot better than what people are saying.
Yeah, I think it's gotten way too much flack, and I mean, would I pay $60 for it? No. But I mean, I think I end up picking it up for like $15 or $20 use, and I'm definitely feel like I'm getting my money's worth. To be honest, I probably would have been happy with the $40 for the game. Mm-hmm. If I would have paid $40. The story is great. It's a little confusing, but if you actually read the little message things that come up, and they give you like little side stories that you can go into your main menu and get like more in-depth detail. If you actually take the time to read those, it brings more light to the story.
Yeah, because I know whenever it first starts, they're throwing out all these terms that don't make any sense.
Right.
Like they're calling you the Lassie or whatever and all this other stuff, and you're like, what?
Right.
Yeah, but then if you go in and read, like, okay, that makes sense.
And it doesn't take that long to read them. It's not like it derives from the story, from the gameplay. In fact, I kind of felt encouraged to read them because the story was so good. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know a little bit more about the lore of what's going on. Mm-hmm. Gameplay's really great. In a sense that I was listening. Did you hear I just hit puberty? That my voice just cracked right there? It's that time, guys. It's that time.
About time, jeez. You did it.
And that's another thing. People give it flack that, oh, it's, you know, there's no strategy involved. You just hit the same button. I was like, well, that's pretty much 99% of most RPGs. You just hit the same button over and over. And this one, I felt like there's actually is strategy because you need to change your class. If you don't, you're not going to defeat that boss. Mm-hmm. Or even just a regular enemy, you won't defeat it. So there is some strategy involved. I mean, if I had to say something bad about it, it is a little bit linear, kind of railroad like a shooter would be, like the first, you know, maybe 75% of the game. Mm-hmm. And then it opens up to be more open world. So maybe that's what gave people a bad taste. But I didn't even really find that bad, because even the linear part, it still had some openness to it. Mm-hmm.
And it feels like the way you're navigating, like you're like jumping over like obstacles and doing all kinds of stuff. It doesn't really feel like you're going in a straight line. Like, it feels like you're still kind of exploring a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just look at the mini-map, yeah, it's all like a narrow corridor or other things. But there's like stuff in there that you can kind of go around and look at.
Yeah.
Kind of explore a little bit.
Overall, I think it was a great game. It was a great recommendation. I appreciate it. Yeah. I'm about to beat it.
I'm glad you liked it.
So I've been playing that. I've been playing some Hearthstone on my iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to get back into that because I know they're getting ready to release a expansion for it. So I'm thinking I might pick that up. Not for sure. I really enjoy it. I don't know if I enjoy it as much as other people are enjoying it, but it's a nice pastime. It's something quick up to play, especially since I played on my iPad. My iPad's a little bit more accessible than my laptop sometimes, especially when I'm laying in bed. Been playing that. As far as shows go, I just finished the first season of Inuyasha. I know that's like 14 years late, but I was waiting until I don't know, I just now got around to getting it. It's a great anime. It's done by Funimation, same people do Dragon Ball Z,
mm-hmm.
things like that. I finished the second season of The Legend of Korra, which if you haven't seen any of the Avatars or The Legend of Korra, the first season or second season, highly recommend it. I know it's a Nickelodeon cartoon show, but it is awesome and amazing. You're talking about great graphics, even in a cartoon sense, great, amazing story. I mean, it's got it all.
Don't they have like a movie or a game coming out based around that? I've seen like IGN stuff on it.
Well, they had the movie, the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Shyamalan.
Where he basically took the whole first season of the Avatar and made it into one movie. And
so I could just watch that and just skip Avatar.
No, it was awesome.
I
heard it was like pretty fantastic.
It's pretty much the opposite of all that. I don't recommend the movie. If you want to punish somebody, make them watch the movie. Because
like, the torture session, like tie them up to a chair and then put that on TV.
You gotta have like the things that hold their eyes open too, so they can't like look away from it.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. The cartoon shows are just amazing, amazing. I would put it better than a lot more anime that's out there. So thoroughly enjoyed that. Catching up on my NCIS. The original NCIS on season 8. I kind of fell behind on that. I'm trying to catch up on a lot of my shows since right now I'm just playing Final Fantasy 13 and I'm waiting until some more stuff comes out. So I'm trying to catch up on my shows now. Though I did pick up a tabletop game tonight that we will be trying tonight. It's called Boss Monster. Sounds pretty cool.
Looks like a Nintendo game.
Looks like a Nintendo game, but with cards. So if we play that and we like it, I might share that next week or next time we record.
I think we'll probably share it regardless, right?
Yeah.
Good or bad.
Love or hate.
Little review.
Yeah.
Little tabletop review game.
We can have our impressions on the next podcast, I think. Yeah. So that'd be good.
And that's basically it, other than like with Josh, new job. So I've been working like crazy. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, my stuff, I actually took a nice week of vacation during this past month, so I got a chance to play some stuff. Skyrim, I finally finished all the achievements on it, including all the DLC stuff, so I'm completely done with that game.
When did that game come out?
Like a week ago. But yeah, I will.
So you built your own house?
That was the worst. Like, honestly, that was the worst part of the game, was doing the hearth fire stuff.
What was the achievements for that one?
It was, there's like three plots of land to buy. So you had to be able to buy and to buy them, you had to be in good standing with the Jarl of that city.
Oh, really?
So if you hadn't done the quests to do that, you had to go do all those quests and then buy the plots of land.
So you can have more than one house?
Three. There's three that you can get.
I had no idea. Yeah. I just had the one. Like, I pimped it out.
Yeah.
It was pretty nice.
Yeah, house. You can build like the three different wings on it and everything. Yeah. So you have to buy all three plots of land. You have to completely build up all three houses as well. That took forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was nice. It just mainly took a lot of money. So I'm glad I had a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I made like a separate save before I started this so I could just revert back to that old save so I still had all my money.
Yeah.
It took like 30,000 gold or whatever the money is in the game to do it.
Mm.
It was stupid.
November 11th, 2011, so almost 4 years ago, or 3 years ago.
But they had all, you know, the DLC coming out after that. Like, the main game I did 100% on, and about 4 months, 100% of it, like really quickly, but it was just all the DLC because the DLC was so dependent on you leveling up. Mm-hmm. And it can take forever to level up in that game. Like, the last achievement I got was to fight a legendary dragon, and you have to be level 81 for it to get, like, a consistent spawn. Like, minimum is 70, but it's, like, a super rare spawn at that point, so when you hit level 81, it's a much quicker thing to find.
What was your favorite DLC?
Dawnguard, I guess. I really didn't like either one, honestly.
Because they had the two, and then they had the Hearthstone or
Hearthfire.
Hearthfire.
The Hearthfire was garbage.
Yeah, that was just like just something to throw out there.
Because Minecraft was popular, and they're like, yeah. You can do this.
I did like Dawnguard because of like the crossbow.
The crossbow was cool.
It was pretty cool. Because especially if I was more of kind of a stealth guy. So I'll just pull that crossbow out and just, like, headshot.
I'd say, like, Dawnguard would, because you could... one of the achievements in Dawnguard is to max out the werewolf perk tree. Mm-hmm. And that was probably the most fun I had doing the whole, like, grinding for the rest of the achievements, because to get, like, level ups in that, you have to murder and eat the hearts of animals and humans. So I started out in one corner of the map and just ran across, like, the land and, like, would go into villages and just murder everybody and just eat them. And just, I leveled up from like one to maxed it out in one run. Because wow. As you eat people, you get like more bloodlust, which has let you stay as a werewolf longer. So I just went from like, it took like an hour of just running around, just murdering everything. It was, that was actually really fun. So that was fun, but everything else was kind of terrible. But I'm done with that game completely. I'm never touching it again.
That would be one game if someone could just take the time to do it. Just see what would happen if you just, like, killed all the NPCs in the game.
Well, they come, like, whenever you, like, kill them, they, like, kneel down, and you can't actually kill them. Like, they end up coming back to life. That's like, after stupid. That. Yeah, you can't, like, any NPC that has, like, a main
value
quest or something tied to him, you can't kill.
That's stupid.
Was there achievement for, like, that night that you had to like go up to like the top of a mountain and fight?
No, that was the last thing I did, because he shows up when you hit level 70, maybe. It's level 70. And I was doing this level up trick where I would just like level up constantly.
Yeah.
I finally figured out like a little loop of stuff I could do. And I went from like level 63 to 81 in like 5 minutes.
Nice.
And when I finished doing that and I started to leave the town, he came up and was like...
Challenge
you. Yeah. And then I went to fight him as like my last thing to do. I was like, I'll just see how, and I couldn't do anything against him.
He just murdered you?
Yeah. Well, he couldn't beat me either. It was like a standoff. Like, I would do no damage to him, but I had so many, like, perks on that any damage he would do to me, I would, like, heal up, like, almost immediately. Like, well, I'm just turn it off.
So this would be like, just be like an epic battle for, like, eternity.
Yeah. Yeah, there'd be, like, lightning all around and everything, and, like, epic, you know, heavy metal music going on all around, and... It would just not end. So I just turned it off. But I was done with that. And then that was like the big thing I did during my vacation was... That was like the little bit of free time I actually had during it was spent pretty much playing that and just finishing it. I have started to play Persona 3 on my Vita. I downloaded the FES PSP version.
What's a Vita?
That's a lot of people have that question.
They still make that?
They do, surprisingly. You can't find new ones anywhere. Like, there's, like, this crazy shortage of new ones. But,
really?
Yeah, you can't find them anywhere.
Interesting.
But yeah, I've been playing that, and it's, because, you know, I was playing Persona 4 last time, and it's so good. And I was like, I never finished Persona 3. I'm going to go back and play that. And past 2 days, I've put in about 14 hours into it. I've been pretty addicted to it. It's pretty fantastic. Pretty fantastic. A lot better than Skyrim. A lot better. So there's that, and the only other game I've really played that I can think of right now, I played Borderlands 2 for a little bit, and just for a little bit, and I stopped playing it because I started to fall asleep. I got kind of bored. I'm sorry, Ken.
No, I mean, I like Borderlands 2. It does feel a little bit different than the first one.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't know if I'm going to get the pre-sequel.
Really?
I'm debating on that still.
You'll get it.
Yeah, but I might not get it when it first comes out.
That'll be like a Black Friday, like half off kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Destiny will be out like before that, so you'll be playing that.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Destiny.
I'm really looking forward to Diablo for Xbox One. I'll be wearing that out.
We're going
to
coop it.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic.
Maybe Josh, when he starts buying Game of Thrones, he can get an Xbox and get Diablo with us.
You should. It'll be fun.
I gotta... Okay.
Talk me into it.
Yeah, I'll buy it.
So, I mean, that's about it as far as games I've been playing. Shows, the only show, like, I went during vacation as well, I watched, started and finished Orange is the New Black. Overall, it's a pretty solid show. A few little gripes about it is it gets kind of redundant in the, like, the main character. She just gets kind of redundant as far as, without ruining anything. Yeah. It's just a lot. It goes in a cycle. Every two or three episodes, it's the same thing over and over again.
And it's hard to, I would imagine it'd be hard to come with like original content for the same setting.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
Well, that's why they have all like the flashbacks of the different inmates. But they've done all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a third one coming up. And it's based off a book that's like 300 pages, I think. And that's not a lot of content to do a ton. Well, I mean, they're kind of milking it too. She has like a 15-month prison sentence. And it's only like, I think by the end of the second season, she's only about 4 months into it.
Yeah.
I think.
They can do this forever.
Yeah. I don't know. But it's been okay. It's been good. I'm glad I've watched it. I don't feel like I wasted my time watching it. I would recommend it.
I like Netflix shows.
Well, House of Cards is the next one I'm probably going to watch.
I want to watch that one.
Yeah, so that's probably next on the list. So, all right, well, that's about it, I guess, as far as what we're doing this month. We're going to take a little break. Be sure, go to our Facebook page, like it, love it, leave some comments, let us know.
Tell a stranger.
Yeah, tell a stranger. We would appreciate that.
Hey, you, listen to this podcast.
Yeah, you look pretty cool. You like cool things. Here's this. And they will thank you very, very much. There's also, we're on iTunes, so get us on iTunes, download us on that, and get on that Twitter.
Tweet, tweet.
Tweet, tweet. Get us on Twitter, like and follow us on that. And then we will be back for our main topic this week.
Woo!
Yeah! All right, we're back.
Woo!
Yeah! It was a little touch and go there, but we made it back.
We had to jiggle the cord.
Well, we had to jiggle something, but we're back! Woo! All right, so now...
I have no idea what just happened.
No, man.
It was an epic battle to get this recorder to work.
But did find out that Dragon Age Inquisition looks fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be a great game. But anyway, let's jump into kind of the main topic this week. You guys know I'm a big fan of like the Souls series, Dark Souls, Demon Souls. And kind of compared to other games that have come out, you know, since the 360 and PS3 have been out... quite a bit different as far as difficulty is concerned. I mean, it kind of makes me, after going back and playing, you know, those games, after playing the Souls games, it's like, man, games are a lot, like, diluted and kind of watered down as far as the challenge level goes. Compared to what I'm kind of used to even as a teenager playing games and as a kid playing games. So I don't know if, like, why is that? And do you agree with that? Ken, I'll start with you.
Oh, you're starting with me?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, you brought this up, and it kind of made me think of when I was playing games as when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
One of the games that come to mind, Mega Man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The original Mega Man. 1, 2, 3, all those originals, before they even came out before the Super Nintendo, but... To be honest, even the Super Nintendo ones were pretty...
Like Mega Man X?
Yeah, those are pretty tough as well, too. I remember putting hours upon hours, and just one boss as well, too. And then, yeah, like you said, a lot of games, some games you could beat in like 5 hours,
mm-hmm.
8 hours. I'd call that one level on a Nintendo game back in the day, or maybe even some of the original PlayStation games even.
Yeah. It's like games kind of want you to beat them now. Like they do everything they can so you beat them. Like even on like harder difficulty settings, it's like it's still like pretty simple to usually get through and win. Mm-hmm. Except for, like, you know, there's, like, you know, you have your exceptions, like, you know, with, you know, the Souls games and stuff. And, like, a lot of indie games are difficult, too. Like, they'll go back to that old school, like, NES kind of challenge.
I think, though, it depends on the game. Not every game I play, though, I want it to be difficult. Like, okay, so Dark Souls. I expected those to be difficult, and I knew that going in. So I enjoyed that aspect. But give you an example, like Call of Duty Ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, want to get all the achievements, I start to play it on in the hardest difficulty. I think the AI on that is ridiculous. And I remember one scene, I'm at one end, and I got some pretty good cover. Kind of like I'm coming out like a sewer drain, so you kind of have like that wall there, but you're out in the open, but I can hide behind that wall. And there's like a bridge that has enemies. And I can only see those enemies with a sniper rifle. I can shoot them like 4 or 5 times to take on one enemy, right? And they can shoot me with a pistol, with a headshot, with like one kill.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember spending like an hour or two just trying to get past that one part. And that was just ridiculous hard. It wasn't fun hard.
But it's like, yeah, like you're saying, that's not fun hard. There's a difference between making... like a decent challenge and making it fun to do, and then there's like frustratingly, annoyingly difficult parts in games.
Like it made no sense.
Yeah.
That was almost a unfair advantage that the AI had.
Yeah.
Versus
yeah.
like you want something realistic, you know, mm-hmm. a realistic difficulty.
Yeah. Or like something like with Mega Man, it was just a matter of, you know,
it was all skill.
Yeah, skill. It was actual skill. It was timing. The enemies weren't cheap. I mean, they're pretty much on the same, you know, scale as far as they did the same moves. They had the same attacks, same abilities. It's just a matter of you getting the timing right.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it was hard because you had to get better yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Not that with Call of Duty, like on that difficulty, you had to somehow manage to cheat the AI.
Yeah, then just like grit down and just hope you get lucky
mm-hmm.
and just make it to the next checkpoint. Like, the Call of Duty games are all, like, you know, you put on veteran, and it just seems like you just take more damage, and the AI is just really cheap.
So they throw a grenade, like, on the other side of the screen, and it still kills you.
Well, I remember, like, Call of Duty World at War, trying to beat that game on veteran is the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, like, by far the hardest Call of Duty. Because the enemies have, like, limitless grenades. Like, you'll go behind cover, and the grenade icon, there'll be, like, 8 pop-ups on, like, the screen. Like, I don't know where to go.
And you're like, in a real war, would you really waste 8 grenades?
For one, on one person?
For one guy?
Yeah.
No.
Absolutely not.
But then on the flip side, yeah, games are kind of, still kind of easy.
Yeah. And I like what you brought up, like, you know, there's some games that you want to be easy, and you want to be able to finish, like, games that have the narrative as the focal point in it, like an RPG, mm-hmm. or even, I guess, you know, I keep, you know, bringing up Assassin's Creed as, like, a terrible game, but it's, the story is kind of, you know, what drives that game, and I'm interested in the story of it, but it kind of, like, does a good job for the most part. For the most part, of like successfully, like, you know, taking you through the game.
Well, I agree with you too, in a sense that you've brought this up many of times, and I do agree with it that you'll be like on the final chapter or the final mission, even, and they're still giving you tutorials on what, you know, control does what. You know, you got to press this to look or do mm-hmm. this to a kill. And I was like, well, I've put in like 30 hours in this game. Surely to God, I know how to kill somebody.
Pretty sure I know how to play this game.
It's like, I was playing Assassin's Creed 4 for a little while and just on the pirate ship, and I was about, you know, 6 or 7 hours in the game, and it'll, like, a little thing will pop up saying, move right thumbstick to move camera to change viewpoint. Like, yes, I know. I realize that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I don't know. And, you know, and looking at it now, it's like, you know, with the Wii brought in a lot of more casual gamers. A lot of those gamers are kind of moving on to the 360 and PS3. So developers, I guess, are trying to get as much as they can. And like, okay, here's this game that's kind of a hardcore kind of game or core game. But we want you to be able to enjoy it too. But it's at the expense of the people who have given that company money
mm-hmm.
to support the game.
What do you think?
Well, I was trying to think back and some of the older generation games I used to play, and Mega Man X was definitely one that I remember giving me lots of troubles. Even some like the Donkey Kongs, mm-hmm. you know, because like mm-hmm. a lot of times one hit, you're dead.
Yeah.
You know, and that would just be super frustrating.
And there's like there were no checkpoints then either.
No. That was before I think it was Donkey Kong Country 2, mm-hmm. where you had like the little barrels that was a checkpoint.
Yeah.
Jet Force Gemini.
Oh, that game. Oh, man, that game. 64. That game was hard.
It was terrible. Like, I loved the game. It was a fun game, but,
we're doing this again, huh?
Oh, jeez.
But, that was a really fun game, but it was, like, super difficult. And that was a third-person shooter.
Yeah.
But a lot of the parts that back then that games don't really, that they didn't have then that they do have now, is more of that storyline, that narrative. Mm-hmm. So did something have to go away to make up for them adding this whole narrative piece to gameplay? Because you kind of talk about our games in art form. So that conversation didn't really come into play until they start adding storylines into games. You know, you look at like Mass Effect, Dragon Age, Skyrim, you know, even Grand Theft Auto, they had like a script, a story to tell. They didn't have that X number of years ago, so they became easier because of that, because they weren't really focused on making it a challenge. It was making it a memorable experience because of the story they're trying to tell.
But I still remember with the Grand Theft Auto, you can still have like a storyline in the game, but still be challenging at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a good challenge, a fair challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, like Grand Theft Auto had, especially like the ones on PS2, there was like unfair challenges in those. I remember in like, because Vice City is probably my favorite one, but I don't think I ever beat it because I got to this one mission, the story mission, I just could not beat. Like no matter what, like it was just so unfair and I couldn't beat it. But then you have games like, you know, like narrative games like, you know, Assassin's Creed, which, I mean, anyone can really play through and beat usually.
Well, here's another example. Look at, you're talking about great story, Josh. Look at the Darksiders series. Mm-hmm. Great story, great lore, but I kind of feel like they're a little too easy. Mm-hmm. The puzzles were very simple. And don't get me wrong, I like the Darksiders series, the first one and the second one. But really, there's no the puzzles they put in there, it kind of felt like my son could figure it out for me. Mm-hmm. And especially like Darksiders 2, and this is kind of a bit of a spoiler, the end boss, weak. I felt harder bosses throughout the game than when I got to the final boss, and I was expecting this epic battle. I was pumped. I was ready. You know, I built up to this, and I beat it in just a few minutes, and I felt really, really disappointed.
Well, you have, like, you know, Darksiders is a game that kind of reminds me a lot of Zelda, like the 3D Zeldas as far as, like, the dungeons kind of go. Mm-hmm. But you don't have, like, a water temple, like, difficult sort of dungeon in Darksiders that you have in, like, Zelda. But do you really, like, I can't really, because I've played 1 and 2 of Darksiders, I can't really tell you anything memorable about any of the dungeons.
Exactly.
At all. But Zelda, I can go back and tell you.
The water dungeon.
Water temple.
Or the sand temple.
Yeah.
You know, Link to the Past.
Remember and the Temple of Times.
Mm-hmm.
Where you had to manipulate time and stuff. And in Link to the Past, you've got like the Ice Temple.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that one was ridiculous. But I mean, there's just not memorable experiences that you get like compared to like older games that you played.
Or I'll even as far as go to say the God of War series. Look at the God of War series. Great story, great game, love the games, but I mean, how easy were they? I mean, you could probably beat all of them in a couple of days. You probably beat one game per day.
I had some trouble in certain parts of it.
Well, that's interesting. Like, God, I don't know if y'all played God of War Ascension at all. The game itself, I mean, it's pretty weak compared, like, as a God of War game, but as an action game, it's good, but the game itself is pretty simple. There's this one part. There's this like this elevator that you're riding up to a platform, and it's like super stupid hard. Like You the level, it's not like on a timer. It's like after you beat these enemies, then like you proceed. Yeah. And you fight these like Medusa enemies like three at one time. And the way the combat works is you like build up a rage meter by getting consecutive hits. And that's how you unleash your like your powerful combos and stuff. But the way these enemies that you fight, and then you're fighting three of them at the same time, you can't build up that meter. So you're just like chipping away damage. And if you get hit like four times, you're dead. And it's like, as a whole, like that part in the game, is that part had to be like patched because it's universally seen as just like stupid hard. Like stupid hard. Whereas the game like itself is like pretty solid as far as a nice difficulty progression. Like you're learning new stuff, so it's going to be a little harder so you can use your new moves and stuff. But yeah, God of War though as a whole, like if you crank that sucker up, it's...
Yeah,
it can be challenging.
It can get pretty tough. I mean, you talking about the Medusa ones. I hated those like the most.
Yeah, you had if they would turn you to stone, and you had to like
shake the controller stick to get break free. And yeah, I think I played all of them except for the new extension one.
It's cheap enough. It's worth picking up. But yeah, that one part was crazy.
And that's kind of the thing. Like they make a game to be beatable in a certain skill level, but then like a design flaw comes in like that, and it just where you can't get past it.
Yeah,
because they didn't set you up to be that skillful at by the time you.
It's like they were making that part in the game thinking of how other God of War is played.
Yeah,
like you'd be able to do it. Oh, this will be fine. You're like, oh no, no. But I mean, there's still some games out there that are like the Ninja Gaiden games are still fairly difficult.
Right.
And then, of course, you have the Souls games. But then you have, like, games like, I'm going to go back to it, Assassin's Creed. It's just, and then even Call of Duty and Battle. It's like, most first-person shooters.
But there's very, very few games that come out at their basic level, like gameplay difficulty level, that are really hard. They're all designed.
Just like on the normal setting.
Yeah, on the normal setting, they're designed that most people can go through and beat this game without, you know, any too much trouble. A couple of levels here and there might be a little harder. Usually it seems like the boss battles in some of these games or the final level has actually been easier sometimes than the actual parts throughout the game itself. But they're designed to be beatable because if they're not, then if I was a producer for a game company, my goal is to sell as many games as possible. So I don't want my game developers to make a game that is too hard because then that may distract some people from buying the game.
Mm-hmm. I think it depends on like how much money you would spend on it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you'd want, if you're spending like hundreds of million dollars on a game, you want as many people to be able to buy it and experience it.
Because that's not what I'm marketing my game to be. Mm-hmm. I'm not marketing this game to be a super difficult game.
Yeah.
I'm marketing this game to be a entertainment value with hopefully some add-ons down the line or multiplayer and you know, all that fun stuff.
I see you have a game like the Soul series that doesn't really cost a lot of money to make, but they have like they sell millions of copies of it.
But they're specifically marketing saying, hey, you're going to be mad at this game.
Yeah.
You're
well, I mean, you call something like Prepare to Die Edition.
Yeah.
Like,
you're going to break some controllers over this game.
Yeah. The first time you die in Dark Souls 2, you get an achievement for this is Dark Souls.
Yeah.
It's kind of what the point of the game is.
Yeah, but I see what you're saying, Josh, and I agree. You don't want to have your product not be wanted by the public. But in a sense, too, where's that happy spot? Where's that medium happy spot? I mean, give me an example. Remember Gun? Great game.
That was awesome.
I beat it in one night. I remember picking it up, playing it, beating it that night. And I was like, really? And I just paid $60 for this game?
Was that because it was too easy or is it because it was too short?
Probably a little bit of both.
But you look at like the way, I mean, if you look at how games were designed like back in Super Nintendo and Nintendo, if there were no challenge to those games, you would beat them. That's why you see those like being like the speed runs so many times in those games, because if you get really good at them, you can just like just destroy those games.
And there's no DLC for those games.
No.
You know, no patches.
But they're still fun to play though.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They're still like super fun to play. It comes, it's like there's like deeper, more like like the design was a lot deeper back then. It was like all like just, you know, if it's just, if the game's just holding your hand through it, like it doesn't like bring people back to keep playing it. And that's why people like just get rid of their games to get something else. They don't want to play any more of it. Like you just, I can go back and play Mega Man X like right now.
Yeah.
I can sit down and just play it for like 2 or 3 hours. But I mean, Modern Warfare 2,
No,
I can't sit down and play it again.
I don't know. It's just, I don't want a game to be too difficult unless that's what I'm looking for, like in Dark Souls. But also, I don't want it to be too easy as well. Like, I hate playing a game on easy. It just, it doesn't feel like fun to me. You know, shooter's a perfect example. We go, you put it on easy, you probably get shot by a tank, helicopter, and there's like 20 guys around you, and you know, you can even set your controller down, go use the bathroom, come back, and you're still alive.
You just get more raspberry jam on your screen.
Yeah,
that's all you get.
Exactly. But, you know, if you put it on the veteran difficulty, you know, 50 miles down the way with a pistol, they shoot you in the pinky and you're dead.
What about, we talked about this, Mass Effect 2. It's like, it's
that game,
hard difficulty level.
Yeah, insane on Mass Effect can be like super cheap. Like,
yeah.
Especially like the final boss.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk about it. Like that was like really just.
I ran out of ammo.
Yeah, I ran out of ammo, and like the platforms would just fall like out in front of me because I'd have to be in cover because of all the you know the bullets and stuff flying.
Yeah, you pretty much played the entire game in cover.
And then, but at that point, like the platforms move around in that final fight, and they move around where you're in cover, so you have to move. And I don't remember how many times I just fell because I couldn't move because of all the bullets flying.
Yeah,
that game. I think that Mass Effect 2 on Insane is that's right up there as far as one of the most like lopsided difficulties that I've managed to play through.
Well, there are some parts in Mass Effect 3 towards the end when you're actually on Earth fighting, where like you had to like defend like this artillery.
Where you're fighting the Banshees and the Brutes at the same time.
All the same time. Like I remember just like running.
Well, that's a timed one too, I think, isn't it? No, you have to beat them all.
Yeah, I think you have to beat them all.
Yeah. I got that on my first try. Like, I don't know, like,
because I got that on my first try.
Well, it was just super luck because I was like, I knew that part was coming up, and I remember having trouble with that just normal.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I want to go on YouTube and watch someone who's done it. I was like, okay, they're just moving around, taking a shot here or there, so I'll just do that. And then, because I had like the Legion sniper rifle, the Widowmaker.
Yeah.
Thing that's, and I would just like one shot, and I would just run around. Yeah. And everyone died, and I was the only one left, so I was still just...
I just remember just, like, running, and, like, the entire time of me just, like, sprinting, because when you sprint, like, the camera kind of drops a little bit. Uh-huh. Like, that, the entire part of that mission, I was just, like, running.
But see, I'll remember doing that, because it was intense and awesome and fun.
Like, I had, like, super high, like, adrenaline going, and finally when I beat it, I was just like, yes!
Mm-hmm.
And then the ending happened.
Well, yeah... That was more satisfying than the ending of that game.
It was.
That was so bad.
But those Banshees, man.
That's like the scariest enemy in a game, is the Banshees.
That scream?
And like they disappear and reappear. And,
yeah, they just like, yeah. Kind of like warp. And then a little screech.
That freaks me out, man. God, I have nightmares about that stuff.
Like even now.
God.
Like flashbacks to Nom.
Jeez.
Right. We're all alive during Nom. I don't think any, even me included being the oldest, wasn't even alive during that.
It's like that. I mean,
flashback to Mass Effect 3.
They didn't fly Banshees in Nom. They don't know what I'm dealing with.
No.
But I think a game should, the difficulty should be on the pace of the story. So, meaning like, if you're kind of like in a quiet town and nothing's really going on, obviously there should be no, you know, hard difficulty.
Yeah.
But if you're fighting like an epic battle, I would expect that to be a hard difficulty.
But you brought it up earlier. Like most final bosses are pretty much like just story driven.
Yeah,
they're story driven where you can't really lose them.
Yeah, the ending of Splinter Cell, the last Splinter Cell, Double Agent.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Double Agent? No, that was the very first one.
Blacklist.
Blacklist.
Blacklist. Yeah,
that was really easy.
You said you didn't even think it was the final boss.
No, I thought there was more to it.
Yeah, and that was it.
Like, the Mass Effects, they don't seem to have, like, a very big boss ending.
No, it's more like the sequence of events leading up to it.
Go to that story. Like, you had to, like, fight the Pope in that one Assassin's Creed. That was...
Yeah. Like, I mean, the two had the... I guess the entire suicide mission would be the boss fight, I guess. Because of all the stuff that you have to prepare for it.
Yeah, for Mass Effect. Yeah. So the suicide mission. And that had, like, its own repercussions of a different sense. But, like, it was difficult in the end because, like, I ran out of ammo. But it wasn't, like... I died a whole bunch.
Yeah. See, I remember all the events leading up to when you fight the giant Terminator in Mass Effect 2. Then the fight. I remember, like, Fable 2, the boss fight for that one. I thought it was kind of funny the way they did it. Because you have, like, the main enemy in Fable 2, and you have... Spoiler, Fable 2, I don't care. But the guy, one of the guys you have, Revan, I think that was his name, just shoots him. Yeah. And it's like he looks at you and goes, "Oh, you wanted to do that? Well, that was the main bad guy. Sorry."
And then you get to pick like the ending, and they have like cards come up, and you get to pick the good or bad ending.
Yeah, stupid.
Yeah, that's another good one of a terrible ending.
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking too, like Wolfenstein, the latest one.
Uh huh.
I thought that was a great game, even on the hardest difficulty. I know me and you, Will, had this discussion where. You thought there were some parts that were really hard, and I thought there was too, but for the most part, it was a very doable, very hard difficulty, because you had plenty of ammo still, you had plenty of health packs.
You did.
It was just a matter of getting that right ratio of cover to shoot.
Yeah, the part that I ended up like turning, because I was on the hardest difficulty until about, I guess through about three-fourths of the way through the game, was like my second attempt at it, I almost did it. Like... I was in that, like, it was in the submarine. I went into the final room where you shoot, like, the commander or whatever, but I died there. And I wasn't able to get back to there, but I almost did it. But I just got so frustrated with it, and I was like, I just want to finish the game.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, even the end boss, I mean, this is on a shooter. It had a final boss. It was pretty epic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was into it, and I was on the hardest difficulty, but... It's still, it didn't feel like it was unachievable, mm-hmm. like you were talking about, like you almost got there. I died several times, but I was getting closer and closer mm-hmm. each time, and that was driving me to keep playing. Again, one of the best shooters I've ever played, and it was on the hardest difficulty settings, and the final boss was even epic. And I can imagine, like, even if I played that on a normal setting, maybe even easy, I probably would have gotten a good satisfaction out of that
boss. Yeah, well, I played it on normal. Like, I bumped it down to normal, and that final boss was... It was really good. It was done really well.
I was going back and thinking of some of the games out there that were pretty challenging, even up to the end. Metal Gear Solid 4.
I haven't finished Metal Gear Solid 4.
When you raise a difficulty level, that could be a really challenging game, especially mm-hmm. if you want to play the game the way it's designed, which is mostly stealth. The boss fight towards the end, it's pretty epic because it's a... It's not so much as it. Of course, if you play Metal Gear Solid 4, you know there's like a couple hours of cutscenes involved, but
at least
they're
just the opening credits.
At the end of the game, they're trying to really build up this narrative because you've been playing this character for so long that they're trying to like finish it out correctly, and you appreciate that. Mm-hmm. You appreciate them trying to like round out the story. But at the same time, you don't want to sit there and watch the ending happen. You kind of want to play a part of the ending happen. The Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater,
mm-hmm.
the sniper part.
When you're fighting at the end?
Well, this is the part where...
No, the old guy. The guy, he's like, he's dead and he comes back to life.
That's the end, I think. Like the guy in the wheelchair?
That's at the end.
You sure?
Yeah, that's like mid-game.
I'm talking about the guy where like the sniper guy... And you're like in this big old section of woods, and you have to like crawl around.
Yeah.
And you're waiting, and you're looking, and if you see like the little flash, like you see the little flash of like the lens, mm-hmm. and you have to try and shoot him before he shoots you.
Yeah, his name was like Legend or something because he's so old.
That's why I thought it was the end. Like,
no, that's not the end. That was like mid game.
Yeah, that's not the end.
You just lost credibility with half our viewers.
I played
all six of our followers.
I will very casually play Metal Gear and say it's kind of cheesy and lame, but Yeah.
But see, I actually stopped playing after the third one. The third one was good, but I don't know. It was getting too confusing. It was getting more confusing than a soap opera.
What are you talking about?
The storyline and everything.
It's great.
I haven't played the newer ones. Well, I need to play 4.
4 is awesome.
Like, that's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's him. That's mid-game.
Oh, that's who I thought you were thinking. You were talking about.
Yeah. That's mid-game.
Yeah, that's mid-game.
I played that game like 15 years ago, or whenever it came out.
There's at least another...
Well, who are you talking about? Didn't you fight him in the woods?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. That was a pretty hard.
The end.
That's what I said. It was the end. That his name. His name is the end.
Is his name at the end?
Yes, it is.
I thought you were talking about the end of the game.
No. You two just lost credibility. I win. That's his name is the end.
Did you beat Metal Gear Solid 4?
No.
You've lost credibility. Let's move
okay.
on.
Okay.
So.
Oh, so confused.
That's why I don't play Metal Gear Solid.
Because they have terrible names for their bosses.
Yeah.
Like, big boss.
That was like a who's on first kind of situation there. Wow.
Wow. Mind was blown.
Yeah, you could just kill him at the very beginning of the game, too.
You can.
Yeah.
When they're that cutscene where he's in the wheelchair. Yeah, they're rolling if out. You do it right there, yeah. I remember that part.
He's done. That's like, that reminds me of the achievements in the Metal Gear HD collection that they put out for 360. Like, all the achievements are really cool. Like, and there's one for, like, shooting him at the beginning of the game and for just, like, sitting there and letting him just die. Like, you just have to let it sit for, like, 2 or 3 hours or I don't know how many hours, but because he's so old, he'll die.
Mm.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. There's a lot of cool, like, that's what's cool about Metal Gear. It breaks that fourth wall and, like, kind of brings you more into the game that way, I think.
Yeah.
Well, remember the first Metal Gear Solid when you had to play Psycho?
Psycho Mantis.
Yeah, Psycho Mantis.
You had to switch your controller port.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you've been playing any Konami games, it'll read your memory card and say, I see you've been playing Suikoden. You're like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
That's freaking weird, man.
I don't know. Overall, I think some games have it down, some don't, but I think if a game just can give me enough challenge
mm-hmm.
to satisfy me, but still make it easy enough to be enjoyable.
Yeah, it's a lot of games, they don't really know how to do difficulty well. You know? Like, they think, you know, I'll just make it difficult by giving the bad guys more health and you take more damage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like games that actually will change the AI, you know? Well, now, like, that's how you would have to do it. You just have to change the AI, the enemies you fight. That's what Dark Souls does.
Yeah.
Like, if you, at the beginning of the game, you can join a covenant that puts all the enemies in New Game Plus mode, so they're a lot more aggressive, do more damage, and have more health, which is what I just said. But they have different AI. They're more aggressive. But, yeah, they, so there's, so yeah, Josh, anything else to add to it?
No, I think, like, I'm looking at it from a business perspective. They don't want to alienate their client base, you know, people that buy their game. But at the same time, all the games come with a setting to increase the difficulty level. So there's that option out there. I don't think a lot of people take that option.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to do like a random poll, I don't think.
Does Assassin's Creed have that?
Mm-mm.
If they do, you have to go find it. Like,
okay.
I don't think it's as simple as start menu and you see mm-hmm. difficulty level. I think you probably have to dig. I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it does. I don't remember ever seeing one.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. But most games do. You know, most games have some type of level. You know, and obviously in certain achievements, you have to play the game in multiple times at harder difficulty levels to get all the achievements. So they want you to play the game over and over again.
Yeah.
I hate those achievements.
Oh, I hate achievements that aren't stackable.
Yeah.
Difficulty achievements that aren't stackable.
You know, I would think...
That's the worst.
I also think that, you know, maybe that's why multiplayer is such an enticing gameplay mode, because the AI isn't good enough, so we have multiplayer to play...
So you have human AI.
Human AI to go against, because that is probably the, you know, a little more challenging than playing against a computer. But, you know, there's But if you raise it up to like insane level, it's almost unfair. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a certain game, they just say, well, just make it, you know.
Well, it's like World of War, where it's just like grenades.
Yeah, they just like start chucking grenades.
Yeah.
Or like, sniper you with a pistol half the screen away.
And they throw like a little gravel rock at you and it murders you.
And so what that tells me, you know, in World of War, they even like give that particular game of any thought. Mm-hmm. They just raise all the ratios of how often they can throw grenades and like their health and AI and said, all right, that's our insane difficulty level. Let's call it a day, guys. Let's go grab a beer.
Yeah.
And other companies may spend a little more time on it. The example comes to mind, like Halo 3. Like Halo 3 with the different skulls and stuff. Mm-hmm. They did those different challenges on there for you to keep playing the game, but also make it a fun, interesting challenge.
Yeah, it's not just, you know, you take more damage. It's there's these like little handicaps that you have.
Yeah.
That are kind of different. Yeah. Like you don't have a crosshair or no HUD.
I like the skull part. Yeah. Enough game. A lot of games don't do enough of that. They don't do enough of
that. Yeah, that lets you know they're kind of trying to be creative with it. Yeah.
They put thought into it.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Brought a lot of good points brought up. And so, yeah, I hope you guys appreciated what we. Talked about. Leave some comments below. Like, what is what your thoughts on game difficulty is? I know it's kind of changed a lot since we've been playing games. So we'll go take a break now and come back for our last segment. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Leave us some comments on our Facebook page. Tell your friends about us. Get on Twitter. Tweet at us at our Twitter account. Follow us on Tweet. It's called Tweet. Okay.
Twat.
Twat us.
Whoa.
Isn't that the past tense of Tweet? Anyway. So
Tweet.
Do all our female
you follow you follow us on Twitter and you like us on Facebook.
That's what I said.
I'm just repeating.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Tell a friend.
Tell a friend. Share us.
Next time you're getting coffee, say to the person behind you, hey, go look up this podcast.
I think you'll like it.
Yeah.
And you'll be a better person because of it.
Maybe even a better gamer.
And I love you.
You never know. That could be like your soulmate behind you too.
Yeah,
because of the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're just trying to do God's work here. All right, so we're gonna go take a break. So join us back soon. Bye.
Bye.
All right, welcome back, Internet, to last segment of the Freshly Squeezed Nerd Podcast. Said it correctly that time.
That's good.
I did.
Kind of a, you had to kind of say the name right before we can. We call ourselves legitimate.
Right, yeah. I've had a lot of vitamin water, though, so whatever. So we're going to like start this last segment. I'm going to kind of do our surprise question. It kind of ties into our main topic that we talked about. I kind of want to get your guys's – what's your biggest video game accomplishment that you've achieved in your video game – playing career. We'll say that. Career.
Career. Okay.
Yeah. Like, biggest one.
Wow.
Awkward silence.
Yeah. So how about, okay, we'll limit it down. That's a big one to think about. How about, okay, we'll talk about, like, last gen. What's your proudest achievement that you've gotten on Xbox, or proudest trophy you got on PlayStation?
Josh, go first.
I can go ahead and go with mine.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll go with mine. It's kind of like three all tied into one. It's the in Deus Ex Human Revolution. I think it was three achievements. I got the achievement for beating the game on the hardest difficulty, didn't detect anybody, I wasn't detected by anybody, and I didn't kill anybody.
That's pretty tough.
The entire game.
Especially that game.
In the same go-through. So that's whenever those – and they were 100 gamer score a pop. So they just popped. I was like, oh, my gosh. It felt good to get that. That was very satisfying.
That was going
to
be mine.
Ha! That's why I went first. So that's mine. The Mass Effect Insane achievements are close to that one because those were – pretty satisfying, but I'd say that's my most satisfying one are those.
Well,
what's the first thing that pops in your head?
Not video games.
Not video games?
So I have to go back and look, but I don't think I've ever completed a game achievement-wise all 1,000 points.
Really?
I don't think I've ever done that. Like, I won't go back and look, because I've gotten really close on some, but like there's always been like one or two that I was just too lazy to, like, now I'm not going to do that. Like, I got really close on Mass Effect. I got really close on Star Trek Legacy for the Xbox 360.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That one's rough.
It is rough because you can't select the mission and play that mission. And just, so if the achievement is just in that mission, you can't pick that mission and play through it. You have to start at the beginning and it just, like, work its way up.
Can you, like, select, like, because then it's, like, a different, like, timeline. You select, like, so you can select the next generation timeline, but you'd have to play through that whole thing again.
No, I think once you pass that timeline, you can't go back.
You have to start the game completely over.
So it's pretty terrible.
But the game's good, though. That's an underrated game.
It is.
That's a really good game.
It's very underrated. Yeah. So I'm trying to think, though. I don't think I have one that I just, like, just top of my list that, yes, I'm super excited that I beat this game. I guess that's pretty sad. I feel a little bad now.
Yeah, you should feel ashamed.
I feel a little bad now.
Is there, like, any old, like, Super Nintendo or game that you beat, or Nintendo game that you beat that you're kind of proud of beating, like a Mega Man or...
I did beat it.
I mean, that's an accomplishment, though, if you beat Mega Man.
Yeah, I did beat Mega Man X. I look at my Sega Genesis games across the way and see if anything on there. The Spider-Man X-Men game, that's pretty tough.
Those are tough.
Yeah, those are pretty tough ones.
Yeah, yeah. Any of those, like, old school, like, those beat-em-ups on Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis, they were pretty forgiving. Vector Man
was tough. I did beat that.
So I'd never beat Vector Man, so that's your accomplishment.
So that's my accomplishment.
Yeah, that's Vector a good Man. One. Vector Man's hard as hell.
So I'm glad you've been doing this, because I've been thinking this whole time. And actually, I do got one, and I remember, I wouldn't say it's a big accomplishment, but I remember it's an old Nintendo game. You paid, like, the fat guy, and he spits out, like, fire. And you have like a little bar at the end, and you can get like a ladder, and one is like where you can spit like three of them at the same time. Old Nintendo game, what is that?
I think you're repressing some childhood memories.
You can jump, and then you can get like a little thing where you can jump higher. He looked like a fat genie kind of guy.
That doesn't sound familiar.
He had like pants, but he had no shirt on. I'm gonna have to look that up. Anyways,
Uncle Frank?
No. I'll look it up here. But anyways, it was a pretty difficult game, I remember. It's a regular Nintendo game, so it had to have been difficult. But I remember at the very end, when I finally beat it, it says congratulations at the end. I thought that was kind of cool because it was a difficult game. And another one, as I'm thinking about this one, I have beaten Battletoads.
Battletoads is hard.
And you remember the race? Or not the race.
You're like the jet ski things?
Yes. Yeah, I have that thing memorized.
You'd have to.
Yeah. Like, I could probably do it today still.
That's one of the few games that's easier to beat solo than co-op.
Oh, yeah. You can because never beat co-op.
No, because if you hit your partner, they take damage.
Yeah.
Like, and the game gets so crazy that
you will die.
Like, one game I always wanted to, like, go back and beat was the Friday the 13th game on the Nintendo. I remember playing the crap out of that game.
Yeah.
But that game is hard, and it made no sense to me as a kid. It would just scare the bejesus out of me. Because, like, it seemed like Jason would just, like, randomly pop up on the screen, and you couldn't beat him. You were dead, pretty much.
You think of Nashville Republic? There's some pretty tough spots in Nashville Republic.
I remember that had a difficulty setting. Like, I had to, like, turn it down on easy a couple times to get through it.
There's some pretty hard spots on that one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, original Xbox stuff. It was way back when.
Yeah.
Ninja Turtles, the original.
Oh, man. Yeah. That game. But it had like made up enemies too. Like there was a flame guy and the guy with the chainsaw. Like I don't even remember him in the show. I never read the Turtle comics. I don't know if they were in the comics or not.
I never read the Turtle comics.
Yeah.
But I remember in that game, I was always just jump and kick. Just jump and kick.
It's like Donatello.
Yeah.
You have to be Donatello. Yeah.
Because he had the range.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Raphael was my favorite Ninja Turtle, but he was awful in that game.
Yeah.
It was like terrible. Bad. Terrible. All right. So that was our show for today. So next week, Ken is going to be our host. So Ken, do you have a little teaser on what our topic of discussion is going to be next week?
I do. I want to talk about and see if games are easier or more difficult now.
Wait.
So we'll just rewind to about half an hour.
We'll just replay this.
Yeah, actually, we've been talking about this for a while, and I think that it would be one that we should go ahead and talk about, DLC.
Mm-hmm.
What about it?
Good, bad, likes, dislikes, all of the above.
What's DLC?
Downloadable content.
Okay.
What is downloadable content?
Well, you'll find out on our next episode.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I can't find the name of that game.
It doesn't exist.
It's not out there.
Nope.
That's called repressed memories.
Yeah.
I will find it.
You're starting to like shake uncontrollably right now, so I think we need to end this episode.
I'm in the corner crying in the fetal position.
Yeah. Uncle Frank, get the fire away from me. Alright, so we'll call that an episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. Again, like us on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
And come check us out on YouTube. Leave us some comments. We want to interact with you guys, so talk to us. Let us know what you think. We'd really love to hear from you. So I'm Will.
I'm Ken.
And I'm Josh.
And you've been freshly squeezed.